I can't remember all the details of the early life of Bonifacio, whom we honor today. I remember that he's a city boy. He's from Tondo, right? Tondo. He's not like Rizal. He didn't have privileges. He didn't travel abroad. He's not from money. That much I remember, but it's easy to figure out that he came from a Catholic family because he was born on the feast of Saint Andrew, so they called him Andrew, Andres. I don't know if he remained Catholic or if he had any faith at all, but he was named after the feast, after the saint whom we honor today, Saint Andrew, Andres in Spanish. So we honor Saint Andrew today. His feast day is on November 30th every year, which sometimes comes at the end of the liturgical year, like it did last year. It was the last day of the year. And sometimes it comes at the beginning of the year, like it does this year. Well, if it lands on a Sunday, of course, we don't celebrate at all. But as it turns out, because this is a leap year, we skipped over Sunday. November 30th last year was Saturday of the 34th week, and this year it falls on Monday, the first week of Advent. So Andrew then, last year we looked to him as an example of someone who was a dedicated apostle of Christ the King, one who would usher us into the completion of the mission of the church. This year, since it's the very beginning of the year, we can look to Andrew as an example of how to begin our journey of conversion, how to begin our Advent journey. And so we go to the story of Andrew's conversion, or his call. Today's gospel is Matthew's version of how Andrew was called. He was together with his brother Peter, and they were casting a net into the sea. They were simply doing their ordinary task as fishermen. Jesus called both of them. They left their nets. They followed him. Shortly afterwards, Jesus calls James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they abandon their father and their nets, and they follow him. So this version of the vocation of these first four apostles comes from Matthew, and it sounds as if Jesus just showed up, called them, and then they followed him. Which could happen, and that certainly could happen. The effect of Jesus' word was profound, and it could be immediate. That's not so hard to believe. But if you look at John's gospel, you see a little bit of the background of these first apostles. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. Andrew and another disciple who is traditionally identified as John, son of Zebedee. So two of these four guys that we hear about in today's gospel were already followers of John the Baptist. And when John saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," these two, Andrew and John, decided to follow Jesus. You might remember that story. They just follow him because of what John said. And then Jesus turns around and says, "Well, what are you looking for?" And they're caught. They have to say something. They say, "Well, where do you stay?" And Jesus says to them, "Come and see. Come and see." So then Andrew, who we honor today, spent the rest of the day with Jesus. This episode in today's gospel seems to have taken place after that. So Andrew already knew Jesus. He already had some experience of him, and so did John. It didn't mean that they were permanent followers, but they weren't simply called out of the blue as if they didn't know what was happening. Probably everybody in Capernaum or everyone in Bethsaida already knew who Jesus was. He had already made an impact. So it wasn't as sudden as it might seem to be in today's gospel. In any case, in this gospel, he's with Peter, his brother, Simon. Andrew, is probably the younger brother of Peter. And Peter, as we know, is the more dominant personality, quicker to respond, or at least to react, and the one who seems to have more natural leadership qualities. So if Jesus was going to pick somebody out of these four, you would think he would pick Peter, because Peter seems like a leader type. But actually, if it were us, we wouldn't pick any of them. They're poor, uneducated fishermen. They don't have anything to recommend them as future apostles. It's a good thing that we're not the ones who choose. God is the one who chooses. And here, Andrew is chosen. He's honored as the first chosen. Protokletos, the protoklete, the first of the apostles chosen. At least in the Eastern Church, that's how they refer to him. The very beginning of the gathering of the 12. Andrew has a Greek name. It's another curious thing about him. Simon had a Hebrew name. Andrew had a Greek name. It means in Greek, manly. So he was a manly figure. I don't know, at least he was named manly. And he stands out as a hero, a humble hero. The first reading, which is chosen for his feast day, gives us a little more of the background, or you could say a little more of the interior dynamic that is at work here. It wasn't just Andrew heard Jesus say, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. What was going on inside? First of all, the power does come from Jesus. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the divine initiative. That's always where things begin. It wasn't Andrew's idea. It was Jesus' idea. Andrew, though, responded with faith. Not with mere impulse, but with faith, something inside. He believed. And when someone believes, their life takes a direction. If we believe, then we live according to what we believe. That's what faith is. Faith is not just an idea. Faith is a whole way of life. So St. Paul, in writing to the Romans, says the dynamic here is both interior and exterior. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It actually happens the other way around. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then we confess with our lips that he's Lord. It doesn't start with us saying words of things we don't believe. That wouldn't get us anywhere. It starts with God. He calls, he plants in our heart an invitation to follow him. Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Our heart responds, if the dynamic is working properly, responds with faith. And when we have faith, then we confess with our lips, Jesus is Lord. And certainly that's what Andrew did. He was a proclaimer of the truth that Jesus is Lord. Paul gives us a little bit more understanding of how this happens. First of all, he doesn't talk about being called, but he does talk about people being sent. Andrew was one of those sent. That's what an apostle is. Andrew was sent, and so he preached. Because he preached, people heard. Because people heard, they could believe. And because they believed, they could call on him. And that's the dynamic, or the progression that Paul describes here. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, how do they believe unless they have heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can someone preach unless he is sent? And how can someone be sent unless he's called by God? Andrew was called and sent. He reminds us, as we begin this new liturgical year and the new season, of Advent, that he reminds us that we are called, that we are called, and that our response is supposed to be believing in our hearts and professing with our lips. Our response is to know that God calls us and to know that he sends us and to do what he says. So we ask Andrew to help us in this journey of faith, to help us respond to the call. We're not alone, we're called with others, just like Andrew was called with his brother. But each one of us has to make a personal response to the call. And as we respond, we rely more and more on grace, not on manliness, not on human strength, but on grace. That's what made Andrew a great apostle. And it's grace, the grace, same grace offered to us, is what will make us faithful followers, faithful proclaimers of the word, faithful witnesses of the gospel, and ready for the coming of the Lord, which is the whole purpose of Advent. So we ask Andrew to help us prepare and to welcome the coming of the Lord.